Go ahead and call today's meeting of the Planning Commission to order. Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance. Ready, pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Commissioner Mello.
Yes.
Commissioner Lindler.
Here.
Commissioner Veal.
Here.
Chairman Fowle.
Present. Minutes from October 15.
I'll make a new approve the October 15th Planning Commission meeting minutes.
Is there a second?
Yes, sir.
Moved by Commissioner Lindler, seconded by Commissioner Mello. Any further discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, let the record show unanimous. Are there any individuals wishing to address the commission on items not on the agenda? Okay. You can see the delineation of information for presentation of documents to the commission, the availability of public records on the agenda. The order of our public hearing is also in the agenda. I will read the right of appeal statement. Projects heard at this Planning Commission meeting may be subject to appeal within 10 calendar days of today's meeting. If the 10th day falls on a weekend, the appeal must be received the following business day. Please contact the county clerk for information. Appeals must be submitted to the county clerk's office together with the appeal fee of $1,250. If you challenge the environmental review or the project proposal in court, you may be limited to raising only those issues raised at the public hearing or in written correspondence delivered to Siskiyou County Planning at or prior to the public hearing. Are there any requested changes to agenda items? Commissioner Veal.
Yes, I would request that we take item one of the
new business.
New business and put it down with item three and have two and three move to one or two.
Okay, so shift item one new business to the third, shift the other two up. Is that a motion?
I make a motion.
Is there a second?
So move.
Moved by Commissioner Veal, seconded by Commissioner Mello. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same. Records show unanimous. Any other requested agenda modifications? Seeing and hearing none. Move into old business. Agenda item one, Wairika Union Telecommunication Use Permit, UP2501. Rachel.
Rachel Jarab, Senior Planner. This use permit project was previously heard during the October 15th Planning Commission meeting. It was continued when it was found that the project documents had not been posted online for the commissioners and members of the public to view. The project documents were subsequently posted and the project is back with the commission today. To review, this project proposes to develop a project site with a 100-foot tall faux windmill lattice wireless communication facility within a 50-by-50 lease area. The project site is located at 943 Highway 263, just north of the city of Wairika. The property is currently developed with a single-family dwelling and accessory structures that support the residential use of the property. And the property is zoned for rural residential agricultural uses, which wireless communications are a conditionally permitted use in that district. The facility is proposed to be constructed with space for three tenants. Verizon is proposed as the first carrier, and with this location will help with both the coverage and capacity, particularly with their in-building coverage at 2100 megahertz. There are no existing cell sites available for co-location in this area. The project is consistent with the general plan and zoning for this area and proposed to be exempt from CEQA pursuant to CEQA guidelines section 15303 and 15304, as the project proposes a limited number of small structures and minor alterations to the land where no trees are proposed to be removed. Additionally, there are no unusual circumstances or future activities which may result in this project having a significant effect on the environment. No public comments have been received. Environmental Health, CAL FIRE, and Air Pollution Control commented on this project, and because of those comments, conditions were added regarding hazardous material business plan requirements, 4290 requirements, and air pollution control requirements. Staff recommends adopting the categorical exemption and approving the use permit for this project. There is a suggested motion in the packet. Thank you.
Okay, any additional correspondence other than what's in the packet?
No.
Okay. Additional county reports? Okay. Any questions of staff at this time by the commission? I'll go ahead and open the public hearing. Project proponent, you'd like to come up and address the commission. Now is your time. Please remember to state your name and address for the record. The address will not be in the minutes, but your name will be.
Thank you, commissioners. My name is Bill Lewis, representing the applicant Vertical Bridge. I'm with Assurance Development. Address 1499 Huntington Drive, Suite 405 in South Pasadena, California. Thank you for taking the time to listen to my presentation. If you want to go to the first slide. I just want to give an overview of the project, get into specifics, the need, and look at some photo simulations so that you can make the consideration when making the decision. So the proposal is for a 100-foot bow windmill design. The facility will allow Verizon to fill a service need by providing in-building wireless coverage to the Wairika area. The facility will allow Verizon to provide more reliable services and improve access to additional wireless services for the benefits of nearby residences, businesses, visitors, and first responders. This includes emergency 911 calls throughout the area. The facility has also been designed to support additional wireless providers without the need for additional freestanding facilities in the future. The importance of Verizon's network improvements. Demand for wireless data is expected to grow by approximately 20% per year through 2028. 97% of Americans have a cell phone and 85% own a smartphone. And over 72% of households rely on wireless as their only means of telephone communication. That includes over 81% of children living in wireless-only households and over 85% of renters living in wireless-only households. 240 million calls are made to 911 in the U.S. each year, and in many areas, 80% or more are from wireless devices. Up on the screen, you can see the coverage maps, the coverage objective. On the left-hand side, where it says Eureka, that's the existing coverage. You can see the where it says Eureka, that's the nearby Verizon sites. It's about a mile and a half, almost 2 miles to the south. The green area represents a reliable in-building coverage. Yellow is in-vehicle coverage, and then the gray is just outdoor minimum coverage. On the right-hand side is the proposed site. You can see north of where it says Wairika. There's a significant improvements, which is shown in the green area. This will provide coverage along the highways, including Highway 5, as well as the downtown area just to the south of it. Here is a elevation and plan overview of what the facility would look like. As discussed, it is a 100-foot bow windmill, so there is a 10-foot windmill at the top. Verizon would have the first center line, which is at 82 feet, and then the two center lines below that is for future carriers. At this time, no other carriers are proposed on this tower, but it is designed to allow for future co-location. The next couple of slides are photo simulations. On the left-hand side, there's an aerial map with a letter A, that is where the photo is taken. Just below that is the existing view. And then on the right-hand side is the proposed visual simulation of the tower. As you can see, because it's built as a bow windmill with a lattice tower type body, and there is a mountain behind it. It does blend in, so it's we feel that this is an appropriate design than say a fake tree when there's not really a lot of trees in the area. If you want to go to the next slide, here's another view, just to the east of the subject sites. And then this is more to the northern portion as well. And then this is also the northeast portion of the subject property, looking towards the facility. We did look at alternatives. Part of the application was to submit an alternative site analysis. The only facility that we could potentially co-locate on was the facility to the south, which Verizon's already on there. There's no other existing wireless communications towers in this vicinity. We did look at five alternatives for a new development, and they were all ruled out. One, the project alternative number one was ruled out for environmental concerns. We'd be crossing a Fish and Wildlife Creek, to the south, we looked at four other potential options within the city vicinity, but it was determined because of the height differential, it's about 100 foot lower, it would not provide the needed coverage for the area. And that concludes my presentation. I'm here to answer any questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What did you say your name was again?
My name is Bill Lewis.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else wishing to speak in favor of the project? Anyone here to speak in opposition? Anyone to say anything, neither for nor against, neutral, but questions from the public? And I will close the public hearing and take it up amongst the commissioners. Questions? Before I go on my soapbox.
Not at this time, sir.
No. I have a question. So it's you're tying into the main grid for power, but then there's a diesel generator as backup?
There is a diesel generator proposed, yes.
Okay. And but that is the back.
That's
the generator is just for backup.
Emergency power, yes.
Okay. And then the windmill, it says faux, so it's like a decorative feature. It's not.
It doesn't
work.
Fit.
Okay. And I'm just trying to see on the map. Go ahead and ask questions. I'm still looking.
Okay, Mr. Lewis, my first question. Your coverage maps up there.
Would you like me to put them back up?
Please. Lend a bit to be questioned. According to your maps, there is little to no Verizon coverage from the four stop signs by the gas station and the liquor store to the Klamath River, which is untrue. We have good existing Verizon service. Mm-hmm. Your colors indicate that Verizon is looking at, rather than 5G, going with a different modern 6 or the 8G coverage, which is worse for distance but better for data transmission. Would that be a correct statement? This is not going to be a 5G tower, but it's being built for the next generation.
So to clarify, this would be a 5G tower. I'm familiar with a 6 or 8G. I think that's next generation.
There's next gen, but
yeah.
I'm questioning why Verizon needs a tower there when their coverage is just fine all the way to the Klamath River.
Correct. So Verizon operates in different megahertz. So they have a low band and a higher band. A higher band frequency lends to more data transfer. Mm-hmm. And so these coverage maps, I mean, we can get very granular into different coverage maps. There is some outdoor coverage within the area, which is shown in the yellow. So if you were outside, you could make a call, not the best call, but you could make a call. The standard in terms of achieving the network coverage is reliable in-building coverage, which is what's represented in the green. Verizon also has other services outside of wireless telephone, data, they have home internet. And so part of their network objective, not only just cell phone, but is being able to provide those additional services, say home internet, which as you stated correctly, those higher frequencies don't travel as far. So we do need to be closer to the residences to lend for that. So there is a capacity issue. There is a data issue. The site to the south, I believe it's Bunker Hill, is at capacity. It's the only site really covering this whole area. So there is one, a need for coverage, but also capacity to offload that site. We actually have another project to the south of it to additionally offload that facility. So there is a need for both coverage and capacity.
Okay. I'm just going to state for on the record that I am perturbed, will be a polite way to say it, that Verizon has the funding and the money to propose putting in a new tower, and yet are refusing to repair an existing tower that is failing to function properly on Denny Point. We've lost almost all coverage where when Cal North ran it, we had no issue. The issue is that we've gone from analog to 3G, which was great. 4G was even good. As soon as they transitioned to 5G, transmitter stopped functioning and they're refusing to repair it, saying there are not enough people in the area to justify the cost. Yet, we have a proposal here from Verizon to sink another tower in an area that has coverage that's just fine. So I'm not real happy with this one. Verizon, not on my good list for Christmas.
Understand that, and I appreciate that comment, Commissioner. I want to clarify that the applicant is actually Vertical Bridge. Vertical Bridge is a tower builder, and they lease space on the pole to different carriers.
Yeah, but Verizon's got the money to lease the space.
Verizon would be the anchor tenant, but Vertical Bridge would be owning the infrastructure and building the infrastructure.
You're making money off Verizon, so they obviously have disposable income for outgrowth. Priorities are screwed up, to put it politely. Thank you.
Could I ask one question? Yes. When you stream a movie, right, or streaming movies on our television at home, is that coming through these towers and so forth?
If you are streaming a movie from your cell phone, that's Verizon coverage, you have Verizon service, it would be coming from the nearby cell phone. Verizon also has home internet services.
I'm just curious, I can't imagine a movie coming through the airwaves, but anyway.
But yes, to answer your question, if you get on your phone and stream something, it's coming from the nearby tower.
Gee.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess I let you know my age.
and actually, it's a good point because there's an increasing need because of all the demand that's on the network for, like I said, there's the coverage, being able to cover a certain area, but there's also the capacity to be able to keep up with that demand.
You call it a need, it's a want. We can buy what we need. We don't need everything we want. Priorities, once again, in society are screwed up. Ms. Jarrett, are you aware, has there been any assessment of wind velocity maximums and how a potential windmill with the...
I'm sorry, has there been any assessment of what?
The wind velocities with the faux windmill, with potential pressures. It's not typically a high wind area like Shasta Valley, but when I heard windmill and I heard fixed, not rotating.
So that's something that would be analyzed as part of the building permit review process when a building permit application is submitted. That's not something that planning analyzes.
Okay, thank you.
I have another question about the vegetation. So it says, existing trees and other screening vegetation near the proposed facility shall be protected and not damaged. But I don't, in looking at the map, it looks like it's primarily grass, maybe some juniper. But it also seems that that requirement to the applicant would be in opposition to 4290 that requires the vegetation be removed for fire safe, as well as the next one that says all removed vegetation needs to be replanted, which again is in conflict with 4290. So
there are about, I think, 40 shrubs being removed. I believe they're buckbrush, and that's as part of the that's part of the driveway improvement. There's an existing driveway already to this site, and there are a few shrubs on the site that are going to be removed. However, the proposed vegetation is just going to be for erosion control, basically where the dirt is alongside of the road and around the facility. There's not going to be any replanting of buckbrush.
Thank you. No more juniper.
Yeah. We're happy that it's okay. Going to get cleaned
if up. It's just for site occupancy, so you're not having bare mineral soil, I can see that, but I just...
Yeah, I don't remember what's proposed to as far as the specific vegetation. It's all very low-growing vegetation that I believe most of it is native, if not all. I think I have it in the staff report, but I don't remember what it is specifically.
I didn't see a list of it either.
Yeah, through the chair.
Yeah, it might have just been an email communication.
I not see in the staff report, though, that the vegetation requires no water? Did I read that, or was that somewhere else?
Possibly. Honestly, I wrote this a couple months ago, so...
Yeah, it doesn't have a lot of rainfall out there historically.
It's not going to be irrigated.
No, that's what I mean. Yeah, okay, yeah. Thank you.
Good. Okay, just as long as we're not in conflict with fire safe standards, then we're good. I don't have any other questions on this project.
Commissioner Mello, anything further?
No, sir. Are you ready for a motion?
Commissioner Veal doesn't have anything?
No.
Okay. I'll go ahead and entertain a motion.
I move that we adopt Resolution PC 2025-019, a resolution of the Planning Commission of the County of Siskiyou, State of California, determining the project exempt from CEQA and approving the Wairika Union Telecommunications Use Permit UP-25-01.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Any further discussion on the motion? This is voice vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same. Let the record show unanimous approval of the project.
Thank you.
All right. Next item, we're going into new business. The new number one will be the Gallen Tentative Parcel Map, TPM 2502. And since Mr. Phelps came up to the table, I'm assuming you're lead on this one.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Hello, good morning, Chair Fowl, members of the commission. James Phelps, Senior Planner, County of Siskiyou. Item is the Gallen Tentative Parcel Map. This project is a subdivision of a property located on North Old Stage Road. It's a 6-acre property. The proponent is proposing to split it into two parcels of 3 acres and 2.95 acres. No new development is being proposed. No grading, no vegetation removal is being done as part of this project. The zoning is rural, residential, agricultural, 2-acre minimum. The site is already developed with a house, a guest house, a private well, a septic system. These existing improvements will be remaining on parcel A, the original parcel, and then the second parcel, parcel B, will be available for future development. The property is a legally created parcel. The site is not classified as prime farmland. Regarding general plan, zoning code, and subdivision map consistency, planning staff reviewed this application and found it to be consistent with the general plan, the zoning code, and the subdivision map act. This project was given to the agencies for review. No public opposition or adverse agency comments were received. Planning staff evaluated the project under CEQA and found no potential for significant environmental impacts. The subdivision involves no new construction and qualifies for the following exemptions: the common sense exemption and existing facilities. Staff is recommending approval. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. No further communication from outside other than what's in here from?
No, sir.
Okay. Any other staff input? Okay. Then, commissioners, any questions at this time? Mr. Beal.
Yes, on the map that shows proposed parcel B, 2.95 acres, it shows a square there at sewage disposal test. Is that a leach field that you're showing there?
Maybe it's a perk test.
Perk test?
Right there it says the test pit.
Yeah. I didn't think you did that unless you had improved water in the parcel. I didn't think they.
Mr. Dean might know more about that.
I can answer that. On behalf of Environmental Health, we have the obligation to prove out a new parcel for sewage disposal.
The fourth one?
Yeah, so that's a back excavation for testing and so forth to establish an area approved for a leach field.
Okay, so leach field first, then water?
Yes.
Oh, I got it.
Yeah. Good. And we do that because it's expensive to drill a well.
Right.
And we don't want folks spending a bunch of cash when we find out they don't have an approved
area. I understand that. Thanks. Thank you.
I'll wait till then. I'll wait. Any other commissioner questions of staff? I'll go ahead and open the public hearing at this time. Project proponent, care to come forward and add anything? Come on up, Mr. Curry.
My name is Terry Curry, and I'm my client is Ben Galan, and I'll just answer any questions that you might have. I'll try to.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else wishing to speak in favor? Anyone in opposition? Anyone neither for nor against? Public hearing is closed since there's no need for rebuttal. Commissioners, additional questions of staff or project proponent?
On that easement, that 60-foot easement there, is that where the current driveway is? I can't tell. Is it going to be like a shared driveway?
No, I believe the existing driveway would be closer to the single family dwelling.
Okay.
On parcel A there.
Okay.
If you see the family dwelling is almost next to Old Stage Road, so I imagine they pull right off.
Okay. So that easement is where the new driveway would go?
Yes.
Okay. And then, of course, they would get a timberland conversion permit.
Yes, that's part of the condition that they would have to comply with the 4290 and all the other regulations required by the agency.
And 1104, PRC, 14 CCR 1104.
What we do is we write our conditions of approval very broadly so that we have to comply with all state agencies.
Oh, I see. Z. Bernadette, you got it in there. Thank you.
Any other questions of commissioners before I direct mine to Mr. Dean and Ms. Lane?
Not at this time, sir.
Okay.
I think it's straightforward.
My comment/question is indirectly related to this project, but it is what Commissioner Beal's question brought up. I have a concern. Don't get me wrong, I understand why we do a test site for sewage first in order of things. My concern is for this new proposed parcel B, was there any test for water? You know you've got a spot for sewage, but the question remains, you create this new parcel, what if there's no water? And I say this generally speaking because we had a couple here at a commissioner's meeting 3 or 4 months ago address the commission because they acquired a parcel, I use the term loosely, which legitimately was tested for sewage, but they have no water, and they wanted to know what we, quote unquote, were going to do about it. Commissioner Hart and I basically said, buyer beware, don't buy a parcel that doesn't have water, shame on you. It's not our problem, not the county problem. You bought the parcel. That being in the back of my mind, and Commissioner Veal's question today, maybe our county ought to take a look at making sure that when we are doing subdivisions, parcel splits, etc., we might want to do a better job of determining whether or not that parcel is realistically developable. I'm just putting it out there for our two head cheeses to consider as we are going through general plan update. Not all parcels should be developed, either because they can't handle sewer or they don't have water. But I think the county could potentially steer or avoid potential legal issues if we do those determinations prior to approving new maps. And I'll leave it at that. I'm not looking for a response. I'm just planting the seed as our general plan is getting updated.
Through the chair?
Yes.
Would you advise that just on parcels split on rural residential housing? Because, like, I'm thinking, well, I'm just thinking case in point of some of my pasture. If I was to, like, split it off, or, like, we've got a road and I want to split it off, it's ag. I know part of it, there is no house. You know, it's not developable, but there's already a house on that side, but the one parcel goes across the road. I think if you put some of those conditions on parcels such as mine, I would never be able to split it at the road to then tie it in with this house, because I've already got a house on the other side of the road. Do you see what I'm saying?
No,
so there need to be a little bit of...
I understand what you're saying, and I think... Let me put it this way. I don't think that failure to identify a source of potable water would be a finding to not approve a parcel split, etc., but it needs to be identified. Okay. So that at time of sale, the buyer, because we have some buyers who are not as adept to reading in quite to the extent that they probably should be. It's those 11th hour surprises. Crap, I bought this place. It's good for sewer.
They told me.
Yeah. But
you're making the assumption.
Assumptions make asses out of you and me. I get that. Fire beware, but at the same time, I think it may be something we should consider, especially rural residential, but I think it's something that maybe needs to be identified further out, because when we end up seeing all the ag land get subdivided because state won't let us use water, the next option is to subdivide, sell for development, and we need to make sure there's water for the houses that are being built.
Through the chair.
Yes.
The comment you just made about farmers being able, yay or nay, water is a major concern for me.
It's okay. not germane to this project.
I understand that. But when you apply for a permit, can the county request a, we used to call them witching for wells, witching for water. My Uncle Frank was very good at it. We got an artesian well in Mount Jackson that he witched. But is there, I don't want to infringe upon the personal property rights of the property owner or buyer, but is there an avenue that they can request? Because the buyer beware thing is older than dirt. So how do we...
Well, it would be in the escrow.
Yeah, okay, so is... Because I share the same concern you do. However, how far can we go to prevent a person from selling their property? Their property.
For splitting.
Because of that.
And I don't want you to take what I said the wrong way. I'm not saying that this would be a reason to deny a split. I'm simply saying it needs to be identified up front at the time of a proposed split whether or not there is access to water. Because we have had projects in the past where lots have been split two, three times. There has been one communal water source, a well, that provides water to all of the parcels, including the new ones, which is fine. But that's identified up front. That is not the case with this one. There is definitely, yes, good for sewage, but unknown on water. That's my concern.
So can, how can we determine if there's water there without punching a well?
Oh, there are ways.
Oh, there is?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, besides which?
I'll guarantee you that's been flown over with LIDAR, and we know right now if there's water there or not.
Oh, okay, cool. Thank you.
It's not difficult.
Because personal property rights with me are a big deal right now for another reason going on in my town. I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions or comments about the commission? I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion. I move that the Planning Commission adopt Resolution PC 2025-22, determining the project to be exempt from CEQA and approving the Gallon Tentative Parcel Map, TPM-25-02, subject to the recommended findings of and the conditions of approval.
Do I have a second?
So move.
Any further discussion? Parcel map is voice. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same. Let the record show unanimous. And Mr. Curry, once again, thank you for your detailed packet. I never have issues with your projects. I appreciate that. Thank you. Next agenda item number three, which is our new agenda item two, McLeod Partners Tentative Parcel Map TPM-2504. Mr. Phelps again?
Yes, sir.
You're on.
Thank you. McLeod Partners Tentative Parcel Map. This project is a subdivision of an existing 60-acre industrial site in McLeod, California, into three parcels and a remainder. The project area is part of the former McLeod Lumber Mill complex. It contains a mix of industrial facilities and vacant lands. No new development or vegetation removal or grading is proposed as part of the, as part of this project. The property is zoned heavy industrial. Portions of it are developed. There is a Pacific Core substation on parcel one, proposed parcel one. Proposed parcel two is undeveloped. Parcel three is developed with private connector roads, and there are some older industrial buildings on the remainder parcel. If you look at the exhibit map, you can see that areas of these new parcels are within the floodplain. However, each parcel does contain adequate buildable area outside of the regulatory floodway. No parcel would be entirely within a floodway, and there is safe access during flood events, and future development will be required to comply with the county's floodplain management ordinance. Planning staff has found that this project is consistent with the general plan, the zoning code, and the Subdivision Map Act. This project was sent out for review, and we received no adverse comments from other agencies. There was no opposition to the project. Staff is recommending that it be exempt from CEQA under the common sense exemption, and there is a recommended motion in your packet. Thank you, sir.
Okay, and so no further communication?
Yes, sir.
Comments from staff? Additional? No? Questions from commission at this time? I have one for clarification. I may have to wait for Mr. Curry, but on page 3, the one with the pretty colors that has parcel 1 in green, 2
yes.
in red, 3 in blue, was it accident, or why is the yellow remainder split in two with that solid black line above the word site? Was that unintentional, or was there at one time going to be a fourth with the remainder?
The remainder has changed shape over the years. This remainder now is going back to the original remainder when it was first split up in the 80s.
Okay.
That line there, I believe, means there's a different APN number there.
That's why I'm bringing, oh, okay. Mr. Curry has his hand up, so I'm gonna move ahead, open. I'm gonna move ahead, bring Mr. Curry up, and then he can correctly address my question. So I'll go ahead and open the public hearing. Project proponent, represented by Mr. Curry, please come up. And you can say whatever you were gonna say, but
you
know the question I'm gonna ask you.
Thank you. My name is Terry Curry. I'm the surveyor for McLeod Partners. Yes, the original project was for and a remainder. And we decided to eliminate parcel 4,
okay.
which is north of that line.
That's what I thought.
Yes.
Okay.
And so, yeah, that's what happened there. That's just was left on this exhibit. And the entire yellow portion of this map is the remainder.
So what I thought had happened, I thought it was remnant from an older map, but I just wanted to be clear on that.
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Anyone else wishing to speak in favor of the project?
Not. I just got comments or questions.
Okay, so you will be third in order.
Okay.
So no other in favor? Anyone in opposition? Comments and questions? Now is your time. Please be sure you state your name for the record. Please. Thank you.
My name is Troy Frisbee. I live at 1033 for Rins, so I would assume this is a subdivision that's going to affect me. It's right across the street from my house. Right now, we only have one access in and out of our thing, out of our neighborhood, right down towards the mill. If a fire happens down that way, comes through, we only have one access in and out. Adding all these other houses is not going to help. Are they going to try to open up Hall Road again because somebody's blocked that off where we don't have access, another access out of our area? So those are kind of my questions for this. With the fire hazard, there's a lot of fire hazard there. You have more people coming out one way. I've been part of the car fire, part of the Paradise fire, and I've seen what happens when everybody's trying to get out one way. So those are my concerns. So that's all I have.
So you live off of which?
I live on Ferenz. I live right at the corner.
Okay.
Right there.
I
look out into parcel 3, so.
Okay. And you said Hall Road is no longer...
The Hall Road is no longer accessible.
Okay.
It's blocked off with logs.
Down at the south end?
Yeah.
I thought I saw
the
logs
east, yeah.
last time I went
yes.
by there.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
So, thank you.
Question for...
I know
you
the commenter.
I
know.
May,
go ahead, sir.
You may know... we had project before us in March or April of 2024 that included the parcels on Hall Road, which was a rezoning of a portion on the northeast quadrant. Was the blockage of Hall Road a result that followed after that project went through? because there was discussion at the time of shenanigans occurring on the property, which was partially the reason for the rezoning on that eastern side. Because I believe, if memory serves me right, the project proponent who was before us, a good portion of Hall Road served that property.
Yeah, through the chair, I think you're talking about the former Terra My property.
Yes.
That Carpenter's own.
Yes.
With the rezone of that. Prior to, not opposed, I don't know that matters so much, but Hall Road, from my investigation, we've had some complaints on this issue, frankly, is, I believe, owned by Thought Partnership. It's not a public road.
Okay.
There were some issues with the property owner on the east side, as which you speak. Laws were put in place. Had a conversation with the individual, and it really comes down to a civil matter.
So,
okay.
My question.
Go ahead and come back up to the mic, please.
I guess this is where my frustration comes in. My family's been there for over 100 years. These people come in and they think they can do whatever they want. That Hall Road has been open for 100 years. That access has been open for 100 years. Then we let these people, they close up the gates, they block all the forest from us, and nobody ever does anything about it. It's just like everybody's taking and taking from us. And to me, this is my grandkids and everybody, we have the house. The house has been on our family for 80 years. And now if there's a fire at the mill because somebody doesn't like something, they get a block off something that's been open for 100 years. So and then it blocks us off. It puts our family in danger. I don't understand where it stops. When does people get to stop taking and taking and taking?
Appreciate your comments.
Through the chair.
Yes.
If I recall, Hall Road was never a public. Is it paved now?
It is a paved road, yes, sir.
It is paved now?
Yes, it is a paved road now.
Because that used to be where the 10 or 12 foot bunk logging trucks used to go to the mill after they crossed 89.
Yes, sir. Yes.
If my memory serves me correct.
You are correct.
But back then it wasn't paved.
It wasn't paved. It's paved now. It's been open for how many ever years?
Well, I've lived in Mount Shasta for a long, long time, so I know where you're coming right from.
Yeah, my father-in-law, his dad, they came from Italy, they moved there, they've been in that town, they've been in that house forever. And it just seems like our rights are being taken away.
So your concern is you can't access through Hall Road in case of a fire?
Correct, yes, sir. It's a very big hazard. In the 2000s, we had a flood down that way.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. And that, if the flood would have happened just a little bit far down, there's no other way to get in and out of town anymore. Yeah.
That's because the logs are there, right?
Because the logs are there.
If the logs weren't there and there was a breakaway gate,
that would be fine. I'm being told that that's a possibility.
I agree with talking to
somebody, but it hasn't happened. So.
Yeah, I don't know if that's in our jurisdiction, but
I understand.
Does East Minnesota still meet up with Hall, or is that blocked off now too?
It's blocked off now. Somebody got that where the old church was. It's blocked off now, yes.
Okay.
So that took another way out.
Okay. So. Thank you. Comment?
May I respond to that?
You may come up and address the commission.
Yes.
We don't address members of the public, but you may address the commission, yes.
Thank you. My name is Bruce Berlinger. I live at 1024 North Street, about 100 feet from Troy's house. We didn't block off that Hall Road access. That was done by Terry Hitchcock, who owns the former Jeremiah property. We have addressed this with Haley. We're not happy about that either. It is a civil matter at this point, and we too are concerned about it at the Thought Partners. And we're not building houses on that section across from your house.
It's not additional.
Just address the commission.
It's commercial. And we are rezoning for commercial purposes.
But we didn't do anything. We too are concerned about the access. We own that road that's been blocked off. That's our property. The logs are out, and it was not.
Then why don't you remove the logs?
Because I don't have a crane to be able to move. It's a 1,000-pound log. So you want to come over and help me push?
We're very ingenious around here. There's a thing called a chainsaw.
It is not our property. So
okay.
Thank you.
Comment noted. Thank you. Other questions by the commission?
There's something about
I have one other question, Mr. Phelps or Mr. Curry, perhaps. I don't even know if it has a name, but there is the, it might end up essentially being a continuation of Hall Road on the north end, the dirt road that basically borders parcels what are proposed to be 1 and 2. And it ends up connecting, doesn't it, still all the way over by Industrial Way? It runs on the north side of the tracks and then cuts back. That is still a complete thoroughfare, correct? Albeit dirt. Okay. All right. Other questions or comments by commission?
Yeah, I have a point of clarification just to make sure that the applicant understands. But on page 1 of 3 of the Exhibit A1 to Resolution PC 2025, there's the notations, and then there's a notation. Let's see. Oh, wait, you guys clarified it in point 4. Okay. So in point 3, if it was left as it says if any timber operations are involved, then you need a THP or an exemption, etc. But then it says a timberline conversion permit may be required. That has nothing to do with timber ops. It's converting timberland, which then you do thankfully explain in point 4. If there's development, you need to follow up number 4. So we're good. I didn't read far enough down.
Yep.
And then one point to just the planning stuff. There's the use of timber harvest plan as a THP as kind of a catch-all, and I know this comes from CAL FIRE, but this is something that has, THP has a specific set in of rules under 14 CCR, and there's actually other documents that could achieve this. So I would encourage like timber harvest plan or other permits, because you may not need a THP, but you will need another permit under 14 CCR, and I can offline show you guys that. But that actually came up at a professional foresters meeting this weekend. So
we did, Commissioner, change some of the wording. If you see, we say may require in both 3 and 4 prior versions. Said you must have or you will. So we did reduce that.
That's good. Thank you. No, that was it. I just want to make sure it's clear that a timberland conversion permit is needed, but not necessarily a harvest unless there's no commercial activities. Let's see. Okay. I don't have any other questions. I think that's straightforward.
Any other questions, commissioners? Comments? I would entertain a motion one way or the other.
Okay, I'll make a motion.
Pull it here.
Oh my God, let's pull it out. All right, it's a little bit slower on my computer. So I move that the Planning Commission adopt Resolution PC 2025-021, determining the project to be exempt from CEQA and approving the McLeod Partners tentative parcel map TPM 25-02. Subject to the recommended findings and conditions of approval.
I'll second the motion, sir.
Commissioner Lindler moved. Commissioner Mello with the second. Any further discussion? Voice vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same. Let the record show unanimous. Project is approved. Current time is 9:56. Janine has me programmed. We're going to take a 4-minute break to stretch the legs and resume promptly at 10 a.m.
No worries.